Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parsha Shelach, and the title of the shiur tonight is The Motivation of the Spies. So tonight we're going to ask the question, what was the motivation of the Meraglim who caused the destruction of that generation in the Midbar? And we want to understand on a deeper level what exactly pushed them over the edge. Were they just Rishayim, or was there a more subtle flaw that existed within the Meraglim, within the spies, that we could point to, that we could see through the Psukim and through Chazal in the Gemara? So if we look in source number one, it's the beginning of the Parsha, and we'll read through the Psukim. It says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Shlach lecha anashim v'yasur es eretz kenana asher ani nosein livnei Yisrael ish echad l'matei avosav tishlachu kol nasi vahem. Send people, send individuals to spy out the land of Canaan, which I will give to Bnei Israel. Each shevet should send one person, a chieftain amongst them. So Moshe sends these spies out from Midbar Paran on the word of Hashem. They were all individuals who are the leaders of Klal Yisrael. So in the beginning of this week's Parsha, the Torah teaches us that it seems like from the Psukim that there is an imperative, there's a command to send out the spies. And Moshe sends out these spies, and the individuals that are sent out were leaders amongst Klal Yisrael. It calls them Nasi in Pasuk Beis. And then it says in Pasuk Gimel, Rashi Bnei Yisrael Hema. So if we look in Rashi, Rashi gives us a little insight. In source number 2, he says, Al Pi Hashem, Bereshuso Shelo Ike Bal Yado. So it wasn't that Hashem desired this, but he didn't stop the Jews from doing this. And as we'll see throughout this year, or later on in this year, in Devarim, it was really a request on the part of Klal Yisrael. It wasn't really a command on the part of Hashem. I think I give shear on this topic in a different year, I think a couple years ago, on why the idea of sending the spies was. But now we're going to try to get to the motivation of the spies themselves. And if you look in the second Rashi, it's really important for this year. It says, Kulam Anashim, in source number 2, Kol Anashim Shebemikra Lashon Chashivos, Ve'osa Shak Shirim Hayu. So anytime the Torah uses the word Anashim, which means men, it's a reference to Chashivos, some type of importance. And at that moment, they were Ksherim, they were really good. They were good people, and they were kosher, they were righteous at that moment. So Rashi explains, based on the Psukim, that really at the moment that they were actually appointed as spies, they were really actually individuals of a good nature, they were ksherim. And if you look in the Sifsei Chachamim in source number 3, it says, Perish kol stam anashim lashon chashivos hu. Anytime it says anashim, it means importance, the individuals being recounted and being recalled in the Torah are important. Ukshiavo b'makom toar, when it's descriptive, kimohacha, like over here, where it says kulam anashim, they were all men. Ukmo v'chazakta v'hayisol ish, and you should be strong and become a man. Aval kishloyu b'makom toar, when it's not descriptive, kimo v'yomro anashim v'es hanashim, asher pesach habayis shlach lecha anashim. Kulam lashon anashim mamashim below chashuvim. But sometimes the Torah uses the word anashim in a literal sense, like in the beginning of our parsha in Pasuk Beis, it says shlach lecha anashim, and that's not a reference to chashivas, to any type of importance. So whenever the word anashim isn't necessary, it's just there to describe the group. So then anashim is really meant to teach us that these people are really important. But whenever anashim is just used generally without or not in a descriptive way, so it just means people. It's not really a reference to any type of importance. But nevertheless, so the Sifsei Chacham is just explaining the way that Rashi learns it out. But the question is, or the idea that Rashi's explaining is that at that moment, they were really important people. They were Nesiim, and they were good. They were Ksherim. Rashi says, V'osheshak Ksherim Hayu. So the question that we're going to see is that Rashi seems to contradict himself a little bit, and we'll try to explain it. But if you look later on in the parak, in the same parak, in source number 4, the Gemara says, or actually the Torah says, Vayelchu vayavo el Moshe vil Aaron vil kol adas bnei Yisrael el midbar paran kadesha vayashivu osam davar ves kol eda vayarum es pri aretz. When the spies return from their trip to Eretz Yisrael, they bring all this fruit, and they show the Jewish people, and they also report back to the Jewish people. Vayistapru lo vayomru banu al arat asher shalachtenu v'gam zavas chalav udvash hi v'zeh pirya. And they start off their rebellion by talking about the greatness of the land, that the land is really a land of milk and honey, and these are the fruits. The fruits were amazing fruits. So they're showing off the greatness of the land. Efes ki aza am hayoshev ba'aretz ve'arim b'tziros gidolos me'od v'gam yilidei ha'anak reinu sham. And then they change their tune, and they start talking about the strength of the land. They say that the land is very strong, and the cities are very large and fortified, and they also saw the children of the Anak, which were, they were warriors, and they were trying to scare Klal Yisrael. So, but if we look in the first pasuk, in pasuk Chavav, in source number 4, it says, Vayelchu Vayavo. So Rashi in source number 5, based on a Gemara, says, Vayelchu Vayavo, Mahu Vayelchu. Why does it say Vayelchu, that they went and then they came? It should just say they came to Moshe and Aaron, because they already went spying and now they're coming back. So the pasuk should read Vayavo el Moshe vel Aaron, they came to Moshe and Aaron. What does it mean Vayelchu, they went? Lahakish halichason lebiyasan. It's to teach us an idea and to compare when they left to when they came back. Ma biyasan be'etzara. Just like when they came back, they had this evil plan in mind and they were going to convince the Jews that it was a mistake to go to Eretz Yisrael. Af halichason be'etzara. So too, when they left to spy, they also had an evil plan in mind. So it sounds like from Rashi and the Gemara that Rashi's quoting, that as the spies went to spy, they already had this nefarious plan in mind to distort this report and to remove the Jewish people and to try to change their minds about going to Eretz Yisrael. And the next Rashi says, "Vayishivu osam devaris Moshe ves Aaron." So they brought this information back to Moshe and Aaron. But the question is that on the one hand, Rashi says in source number 2, if you look in the second line, "Kulam anashim kol anashim shebemikra lashon chashivas osu shak sheirim hayu." Rashi in the beginning of the parsha says that when the Torah recounts them, that they were really important people and they were good at that moment. But then Rashi later on says that when they left to go spy, they already had this evil plan in mind to take the Jews away and from going to Eretz Yisrael. And they already had this in mind. So it sounds like, were they good or were they bad? That's the question. It sounds like on the one hand, Rashi says they're ksherim, and then on the other hand, Rashi says, Vayelchu, when they left to go spy, they already had this in mind. So which one was it? What happened to these spies? They started out good, ksherim, and then in the process of, or right before they left, now they're evil, and they have this evil plan, and they're going to try to destroy Klal Yisrael and by convincing them not to go to Eretz Yisrael. So what exactly happened? And how does that make sense? How does it make sense what Rashi's saying? That on the one hand, at the beginning of the parsha, they're good, they're ksherim, and then as they left to go spy, they were be'etzara. They really had this evil plan. So which one was it? Were they really evil individuals in the beginning? Or were they good individuals in the beginning? And if they were good individuals, so what does it mean that they left with this intention? Why would they leave with this intention if they were good individuals? So there seemed to have been some type of transition from the time the Torah recalls their names to the time that they leave to go spy. So the question is, what happened? What exactly changed that now they had this evil plan in mind when they left? And when we understand that, maybe we can understand their motivation a little bit further, exactly what their personalities were like. So if we look in the Gemara, if anybody has any questions, of course, as usual, just stop me, ask in the middle of the shiur, I don't care. So we'll look in the Gemara. The Gemara, there's an interesting Gemara that I think kind of opens up this area, and there's two parts to it. So we'll do the first part, and we'll try to explain it. And then we'll do the second part. So we'll do it in two. So if you look in source number 6, it's Maseches Sota, Daf Lamed Dalad Amud Beis. And the Torah is commenting on this Pasuk in Devarim. And the Pasuk in Devarim recalls what happened by the Meraglim. And it says, V'yachberu lanu es aretz. If you look in source number 8, just to look at the Pasuk first, it says, V'atikrevun, it's Devarim Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis. When Moshe is giving Musar to the Jewish people, at the end of his life, it says, "Vatikrevun elai kulchem, vatomru nishlcha anashim lufanenu v'yachberu lanu es aretz v'yashivu osanu davar es haderech asher naleba v'es hearim asher navo alehan." So when Moshe remembers this incident of the Meraglim, he explains to the Jews by giving them Musar and saying, "You all approached me and you asked me to send out these individuals to spy the land, and in order that they bring back information to know what the cities were like and how to approach the cities and which cities they should attack first. So Moshe is explaining that really what happened in Shlach is that the Jewish people approached him and they asked him to send these spies out. And even though our psukim in Shlach say that it was al pi Hashem, it's really clear from Devarim what happened. So the Gemara is taking up the strange lashon of Yachbaru lanu es haaretz. So if you look in source number six says Yachbaru lanu es haaretz. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba. So Rav Chiya bar Abba said Meraglim lo niskavnu el levoshta shel eretz Yisrael. So the intention of the people sending the Meraglim was in order to shame, embarrass Eretz Yisrael. Ksiv Hacha, it says over here in Devarim, V'yachburu lanu es haaretz, and they should spy out the land. Uksiv Hasam, and it says over there in Yeshayahu, V'chafra halavana uvosha hachama. It says that the moon will be embarrassed, and the sun will also be shamed. So the Gemara says, from the interesting lashon of the chafar, chafar means to spy, but it also is used in Yeshaya to mean embarrassment. So it shows you that the fact that Moshe uses this lashon of Yachbaru lanu es haaretz, it's teaching us that the Jewish people from the very beginning, when they made their request, if you look in the pasuk, it says Yachbaru lanu es haaretz, they were really requesting it in a way where they wanted to have this shame. They wanted to shame Eretz Yisrael. And that was built into their request. And if you look in Rashi, look in source number 7, Levoshta shel Eretz Yisrael, Osa she'ela she'shalu t'chila shloach ha'meraglim, the very question or the very request that the Jewish people asked Moshe with the words V'yachbaru lanu es haaretz in the Torah is teaching us that Moshe recognized the way they were asking it was that they wanted to shame Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to expose Eretz Yisrael. And the word V'chafar, which means to spy, is also used in Yeshaya to reference the idea that the moon and the sun will be embarrassed. So what is this talking about, this pasuk? So if you look in source number 9, it says in the pasuk that's quoted in the Gemara, the chafra halavana uvosha hachama ki malach Hashem tzvakos behar tzion uv Yerushalayim beneged zekanav kavod. So the Torah teaches us over there in Yeshayahu that the chafra halavana, the moon will be embarrassed or will be shamed, and the sun will be embarrassed because Hashem will take the reins in Har Tzion, in the mountain of Tzion, in Yerushalayim, and all the elders, his presence will be revealed to. And if you look in source number 10, the Tirgum explains, V'yav sun defalchin l'sihara, v'yiskanun desagdin l'shimsha, arei tiskele gevurta dar Hashem tzvakos betur d'tzion Yerushalayim ukdam save ame bikar. So he says that the Targum Yonasan explains that the people who... This is talking about in the time of the Mashiach. And when Mashiach comes, the people who worship the moon and the people who worship the sun will be embarrassed. They'll be shamed. And it'll be obvious that Hashem is this Gibor, courageous, and he'll be revealed to his elders. So the Yeshaya, the Pasuk that's comparing the Jewish people and their request for Meraglim, which is V'yachbaru lanu es haaretz, to spy it out, and the use of the word chafar that Moshe is explaining or is using in the Torah and Devarim is also used in Yeshaya. And it's a reference to embarrassment. And it's saying that the individuals who worship the sun and the moon will be embarrassed, will be shamed in the times of Mashiach. And it'll be clear that Hashem is the Melech, Hashem is the King, and that He reigns supreme. So the question is, what is the basic limud? What is the basic idea that the Jewish people, the chafar, from the word v'yachbaru, that they really intended to shame the land? How do we understand it from the word? And the other question is, what's the comparison or connection between the two psukim? Meaning that usually when the Gemara uses two psukim and compares the two, it's not just because the word is used in that way, because it's used for embarrassment and also for spying, but also there's a conceptual relationship between the two. So the question is, what is the relationship between the idea of the Jews asking for the spies to spy out the land, and also the embarrassment of those who worship the sun and the moon in the times of Mashiach? Why is the Gemara comparing those two psukim and saying, oh, in both cases, there's a reference to the idea of embarrassment and shame? So those are the questions. So the basic questions up to this point, because we're going to start answering them, are as follows. What was the motivation of the spies? What was their basic motivation? And we saw from Rashi early on that in the beginning of the Parsha, he says, Kulam on Hashem, they were Ksherim, they were Chashivim, they were individuals of high regard, and they were also Kasher. But later on, in Rashi, he says, Vayelchu Vayavo, that really the spies were really individuals that had an evil plan when they left to go spy. So the question we asked, the first question was, were they really good or bad? What changed from the beginning of the Parsha and Rashi and towards the end of this Perek, of Perek Yud Gimel, where Rashi seems to indicate that even as they left to go spy, they really had this evil intent? So that's the first question. And now the Gemara over here, just to try to explain it, is saying that the Jewish people had this intent or had this desire to shame the land. And the Gemara, it compares the Pasuk by Yemos Mashiach, where those who worship the sun and the moon, like Targum Yonasan says, will be embarrassed. So too, the Jewish people intended to embarrass the land. And the word v'chafar, v'yachbaru, is the link between the two. But the question is, what is the comparison between the two ideas? Is there a connection between the two? And through this, can we understand the motivation of the spies a little bit deeper? So those are all the questions. Okay? All right. So if you go to the next page, we start getting to the answers. And the answers start with this Ibn Ezra. And it's not just the Ibn Ezra, but all the Mefarshim on that Pasuk in Devarim give a similar explanation. And they say, look in source number 11, the Ibn Ezra on Perek Aleph Pasuk Chav Beis in Devarim says, V'yachbaru kimo lachpor es kol aretz, ki achofer yachpos yachapes, sorry, mashi yesh beseser. So what is the word chofer, lachpor? It means to dig. And the word dig and spying, there's some connection between the two, because it says anybody who digs is looking for something in secretive. So when you dig in the ground, you're usually looking for treasure. You're looking for something that's hidden. So too, the word chafira or v'chofer is a reference to digging, but it's also an idea in spying. And it's the general concept of both is that you're looking for something that's hidden. That's something that's secret. And so the Ibn Ezra says that the word chofer, which is what the Gemara is highlighting, v'yachbaru, is really a reference to this concept of looking for something hidden. So we see from the word v'yachbaru that when a person, we see what the idea is. The idea that the Ibn Ezra is highlighting is that when the Jews asked to spy the land, they weren't just looking for the superficial, but they were looking for that which would expose the land. They were looking for something secretive that could be brought out and could expose the land. So I want to look at this Ksav HaKabbalah in source number 12. I've used him in different shiurim, and he's very insightful. And I think with that, we'll try to gain some real insight. And I think everything will come together. So if you look in source number 12, the Ksav HaKabbalah says, V'yachbaru, lo niskavnu el levoshta shel Eretz Yisrael. So he quotes our Gemara. It says that the whole intent of the Jews asking for the Meraglim was to embarrass Eretz Yisrael. And you see it, Ksiv Hacha V'yachbaru, Ksiv Hasam B'chafra Levana. And he quotes our Gemara. It says in our Pasuk in Devarim, V'yachbaru, to spy out, but it uses the word Chafira, which means to search for something secret. And over there it says, V'chafra Levana, that those who worship the Levana will be embarrassed. Kavanasam L'havdil Ben Tur Uvein Chafira. So what's the intent of the Gemara? It's to differentiate between Tor, the word vayasuru, which also means to spy, and the word chafira. Sheshneem hora asam hachipos rabedika bebedina acheres. They both mean to check another land, to spy. The hahevdel beneim, but what's the difference between vayasuru and viachbaru? Kisor hunach al haholech la'eretz acheres livdokosa kvima shehi bitchunasa. So the idea of vayasuru is to look at the land based on what it is and what it is in reality. In actuality, of al chafira hunach al mechapes v'abudek escher pasa aretz ugnusa legalos klonoseha. But when the word is of chofer, which means to dig or to spy, they're looking for something that'll expose the weakness of the land, the embarrassment, that which is terrible about the land. Ulezeh shitfu rabusenu lashon chafira al harigol im chafira al habusha v'acherpa. So that's why v'acherafa. That's why the Torah, the Gemara, compares the word chafira with regard to spying to the chafira with regard to the embarrassment and the shame. Lachain, v'parshas shlach, lohutzka rak lashon v'yasuru. In Shlach, it says V'yasuru, to spy. It doesn't use V'yachperu. Omnam kan, but over here in Devarim, Asher yochichom al ro ma'alehem, so when Moshe is giving Musar, kinizgale kichol sha'alosam b'shlichos ha'anashem lo yalosor ladas ercha, the whole goal of Klal Yisrael in asking to send spies wasn't really to know the dimensions of the land. Ki im lachbor legalus kherpasa. Their goal was to dig, to expose the weakness and of the land, and to expose it. And that's the word chafira. V'da de b'shash lefaninu isa shem raglim sham raglim oniskavnu. This is an important point. So he says that in our Gemara, if you look back in source number 6, it says, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Meraglim Lo Niskavnu Elavo Shel Eretz Yisrael. So the pshat of the Gemara is that it sounds like it's not referring to the people's request, V'yachberu Lanu Es Haaretz, but it's referring to the Meraglim's intent. And of course, V'yachberu Lanu Es Haaretz is a reference to how the Jews asked for the spies, not what the spies' intent was. But the Gemara, if you read it on pshat level, although I didn't read it like that when I presented it, it sounds like it's talking about the Meraglim themselves. Lo niskavnu. Look at it back in the Ksava Kabbalah. Milas meraglim hushibush. So he says it's a mistake. Dekra min ha-mishalchim idaver, lo min ha-shluchim. The pasuk's referring to those who sent out the spies, meaning the Jews who asked for the spies, not from the spies themselves. Uva yalkut perish parsha shlach lesa lemilas meraglim. And the yalkut in the medrash, it leaves out the word meraglim. So it just says, lo niskavnu el levoshta shel Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't say meraglim. So the Ksava Kabbalah notes that there's this difference between Chafira and Lasor, and Chafira means to expose, whereas Lasor means to look at it and to understand it and to see it as it is. But he also points out this interesting point that the Gemara is kind of written funny. The Gemara says Meraglim lo niskavnu. The Meraglim only intended to embarrass the land, but in reality, it was the people who requested it. When the pasuk says V'yachberu, it's not referencing the those who are sent, the shluchim. It's referencing the mishalchim, those who sent the spies. So why does the Gemara have it weird? So he says it's a mistake. Omnom lo shavak. So go back to the Ksava Kabbalah. V'chi nami miperish Rashi sham b'Gemara. Omnom lo shavak kra milishanos gam b'shluchim atzmam legnusam. But he says that we also see that the spies themselves are shown in a degradatory way in Devarim. Kisham v'shlach ne'amar b'hem v'yasuru. In Shlach it says they went to spy, and it uses the word v'yasuru. V'chan amar, in Devarim it says v'yiraglu. It says v'yiraglu, shugam kein hachipus lignos. So he says that's also a reference, the word l'ragel is also a reference to looking and trying to expose the weakness and the shame of the land. So he says that both the meraglim and the people have the same intent. The people, when they say V'yachberu lanu es haaretz, when Moshe says it in Devarim, it's a reference to how the people asked. That Moshe recognized that the people really wanted to expose the land, and V'yachberu is the lashon of digging, trying to find the weakness in the land and the embarrassment of the land. And it also uses the word, the Ksava Kabbalah says, L'ragil in Devarim, as opposed to V'yasuru, which is the proper word for spying. And L'ragil, he says, the Ksava Kabbalah is a reference to the spies themselves, that the spies also were searching for some type of embarrassing information about Eretz Yisrael. So we see that there's this parallel between the way the people ask and the Meraglim themselves, and how the Meraglim respond, and how they follow along with what the people are asking. Meaning to say, and this is what I think is funny, that the Ksava Kabbalah says in the Gemara, if you go back to source number 6, it says Meraglim lo niskavnu, but really it's not the Meraglim, it's really the people. So there seems to be some type of connection between the people and the Meraglim, and the Gemara is written in a funny way, where it says the Meraglim intended, but the Pasuk is not referencing the spies, it's referencing how the people asked and what their intent was. So which one is it? And he says it's a mistake, but then he also says, the Ksava Kabbalah says, that we see from the word L'ragel in Devarim, that the spies also were looking to embarrass the land. So which one is it? So I want to try to give a possibility here. So we see that there's this parallel between the way the people ask and the way the Meraglim search. The people ask V'yachberu, they ask in order to dig and expose, and the Meraglim are going L'ragel, to expose, not Lasur, not simply to spy from a military standpoint. So what do we see? We see that the people seem to have this insecurity, and they wanted to expose the land for what it was, and it sounds like the people's request had an impact on the Meraglim, and meaning that the Meraglim were affected by the people, and they wanted to fulfill the will and the need of the people to expose the land. And the raya for this, or we'll see in a couple seconds, a good proof for this idea. But what Rashi was saying in the beginning, or one of our questions was, were they good or were they bad? So it sounds like the people that were chosen, what it means that they were kosher is that initially they were kosher, they didn't have an evil intent, but when they saw the way the Jewish people asked for spies, they were impacted by the people, and they were leaders, and that's why it keeps highlighting that they were Rashi Klal Yisrael, they were the heads of Klal Yisrael, meaning that as the heads, they wanted to placate the people, and they wanted to give in to what the people wanted. And there's this parallel that exists. On the one hand, the people ask Yachbaru, they want to expose the land. And we see from the Ksav HaKabbalah and the Gemara that affected the Meraglim themselves. And the Meraglim seem to want to placate, they want to fulfill or satisfy the needs of the people. And we see that this is a major flaw amongst leaders in general, that there are leaders who stand up for what they think is correct. And then there are leaders who are, you know, desirous of simply placating their audience and placating their congregation. And this seemed to be one of the flaws of the Meraglim. One of the flaws of the Meraglim is that they were affected by the needs of the people. They saw or they sensed what the people wanted, and they wanted to give in to what the people wanted in their role as leaders of the people. So we'll see this. We see this idea also. Look at the Medrash in source number 13. The Medrash talks about the names of the spies. And it says Shamua ben Zachor, which is the first name. It's the name of the spy of Reuven. It says, why is it Shamua ben Zachor? Hashem shelo shama ledivrei hamakom, that he didn't listen to the divrei hamakom, the words of God. V'hela alav kiilu shalo bezachuro. I think it's saying that what this medrash is saying is that it was he treated it as if he asked God, as if he asked God. He was pretending as if he was listening, even though he wasn't really listening. The Omer, and it says in Shmuel Aleph, ki chatas kesem meri v'avon utstrafim haftzar. It says that rebellion is like divination, and defiance is like trafim, is like doing a avodah zarah. So what is the pasuk that it's referencing by Shmuel ben Zachor? It's a pasuk from Shmuel Aleph. And if you look in source number 14, this is where the insight came from. If you look in source number 14, what is the story in Shmuel Aleph that this is referencing? It's a story of Shmuel rebuking Shaul. If you look in Parak Tesfel Pasuk Chav, it says, Vayomer Shaul Shmuel asher shamata, ashamati b'kol Hashem, va'eilech baderech asher shlechani Hashem ba'avias agag melech amalek ves amalek hecharamti. Shaul is very proud when he defeats Amalek. He says to Shmuel that he brought Agag back to Shmuel. And Shmuel, of course, knew that Shaul was supposed to destroy Amalek completely, but Shaul did not follow this command. And in fact, he saved the animals, and he explains, look in Chaf Aleph, Shaul explains to Shmuel, and he tries to defend the fact that he didn't destroy Amalek by saying that the people chose the best from the animals, from the bounty, to bring as korbanos to Hashem. By Yomer Shmuel, and Shmuel says back to Shaul, Hachifetz l'Hashem ba'olos uzvachim kishmoa b'kol Hashem, hinei shmoa mizarach tov l'hakshiv mechel ve'ilim. So he rebukes Shmuel rebukes Shaul, and he says, does Hashem really want these sacrifices? It's better to listen to him. Listening is better than any korban, and compliance is better than any fat from any animal. Ki chatas kesem meri v'avon ustrafim haftzar yan ma'asta es dvar Hashem v'yim asacha mimelech. Because rebellion is like divination, and defiance is like trufim, is like bowing down to idols. Because you've rejected Hashem, Hashem has rejected your kingship. Vayomer Shaul, Shmuel chatasi ki avarti es pi Hashem es dvarecha ki arisi es am v'eshma b'kolam. So Shaul says that I made a mistake and I listened to the people, and I made a mistake against Hashem. And he asked Shmuel for forgiveness. And Shmuel says, I'm not going with you. You've rejected Hashem, and therefore Hashem has rejected your kingship. So what's interesting is that the Medrash on Shamua ben Zachor quotes the Pasuk from this story. So it's showing us the fact that the Medrash is quoting the Pasuk from Shmuel Aleph, it's teaching us that the same flaw that existed by Shaul, which was that Shaul, on the one hand, was a leader, but there was a part of him that listened to the people, that wanted to satisfy the needs of the people. And he did that in the wrong situation. He should have stood up and destroyed Amalek, but nevertheless, he tried to justify it by saying this is the right thing, even though underneath it all, he was simply just scared to stand up to his people, to the people that he led. So too, Shamua ben Zachor, which is the first one of the Meraglim, and the beginning of establishing the names of the Meraglim, so too, we see the same flaw existed, that the Meraglim were leaders, but they weren't capable of being independent from the people. They were leaders that wanted to placate the people's needs. So the chronology of the events is that the people asked for spies, but we see from the requests of the people in the Torah and Devarim and Shlach that the people really had this nefarious plan and they had this desire to expose Eretz Yisrael. And the Meraglim who were appointed were the types of people that were influenced by the people themselves, and they sensed that this is what the people wanted, and they wanted to give the people what they wanted. And they did the same thing that Sheol did to the people by Amalek. So the flaw, the motivation of the Meraglim seems to be a motivation of being leaders who want to satisfy their people and want to placate their people instead of leaders who stand up to the people. And that was their flaw. They weren't intrinsically bad people, it seems like. They weren't Rishayim, they were Ksherim. But once they assumed the role of leadership, they were the types of people who didn't want to let their constituents down. They didn't want to let the Am down. So because of that, it seems like they were motivated to follow in their path and to follow and convince the Jewish people of what they wanted to hear, which was that the land was awful. So we see that was really the hidden motivation, the underlying psychology of their motivation. So if we go on a little further in the Gemara, we'll just do the second part. It's quicker, and we'll see one added element to this. It's a similar point. So if you look back in source number 6, two lines down, it says Ve'ilish Mosam L'matei Ruvein Shemua Ben Zachor. So the Gemara quotes the same pasuk in Shlach. It starts listing off the names of all the Meraglim. Amar Rav Yitzchak Dover Zeh Mesoros B'Yadenu Ma'avoseinu Meraglim Al Shem Ma'aseim Nikro. So there's a Mesorah, there's a tradition that the Meraglim, their names reflect their actions, what they eventually would do. V'anu lo also b'yadinu ele'echad. We only have one of them that we understand. Sisur ben Michael. The one that we can explain is the name Sisur ben Michael. Sisur, the son of Michael. Sisur means Shesasar ma'asav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He hides the actions of Hashem. Michael she'asa atzmo mach. And he makes Hashem weak. So there's one reference to one of the Meraglim being a Rasha from his name, Sisur ben Michael. Sisur like Seser, which means a secret. He makes Hashem's actions secretive. And Michael from the word Mach, which means he makes Hashem weak. And Amar Rav Yochanan, Af Anu Nemar Nachbi ben Vafsi. Another name was Nachbi ben Vafsi. Nachbi Shehechbi Devarv Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. That he hid the words of Hashem. Upasi Shepisea Amidosav Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. He stomps on the midos, the attributes of Hashem. So both, the Gemara says, which the funny thing is that the Medrash actually does go into each name, but the Gemara says we only have a Mesorah on one or two names, and the two names are Sisur ben Michael and Nachbi ben Vafsi, and both are similar. They're both an idea of hiding Hashem and hiding the greatness of Hashem, and then also making Hashem look weak, destroying, stomping on Hashem, stomping on his midos. So they're similar types of explanations. But what is the Gemara highlighting? So I think that the Gemara is highlighting a slightly different point than what I was making before in the beginning of the shir. So if we look in the Marsha explains in source number 15 on this Gemara, Dover Zeh Mesoros Meraglim Al Shem Ma'aseim Darshu Kain Midachafal Kra Lichto Ve'ilish Mosam Ilish Mosan Hashem. So the pasuk repeats itself. It says Ve'ilish Mosam and then it says Ilish Mosan Hashem. So why does it do that? Lomar lach l'dayik bishmosam, to teach you that we should try to understand their names. Shehem al shem ma'aseim, that they reflect their actions. Sisur shesasar ma'asav shel kadosh baruch hu, he hides the actions of God. Ayin perish Rashi, so look at Rashi. Ve'od yesh lomar, and also shemase Hashem yisbarach b'chola osos v'anisim v'mufursamim she'asa lehem yom tesam eretz Mitzrayim, all the great miracles that Hashem had done, histir. He hid v'chisa osan, and he covered them up, ki'ilu eino roe, as if he didn't see them. Osan, shalulei kach, lo haya omer, Lonuchalalos. If he had recognized the greatness of Hashem through the miracles, then he wouldn't have been able to say that we can't go up and conquer the land. Umichal she'asa atzmo mach she'in chas v'shalom biyado yisbarach litin lahem mizonos. He tried to make it that Hashem doesn't have the strength or the power to give them food and to sustain them. K'mosh nefarish lekaman shehotzi dibas haaretz shechaser ba ikar mizonos shem ikar chayi nefesh. And he tried to make it that the land wouldn't be good enough to provide them with their needs, which are chito, se'ora, v'shemen. So he, sesur ben michal, he hid the actions of Hashem. He made himself convinced that he didn't see all these miracles. And then he also tried to show the nation that the land wasn't good enough to sustain them. And nachbi ben vafsi, shehech bidvar v'shal kadosh baruch hu, v'lo hemin b'ma sheheid al aretz shitova. He didn't believe that it was good. Upasa al midosav shal kadosh baruch hu. He stomps on Hashem's attributes. Shendosi en tzchar tov l'ma'aminim bo. That Hashem rewards those who believe in Him. K'mashikasa b'avtachas Eretz Yisrael, as it says in the promise of Eretz Yisrael, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem who rewards those who believe in Me. V'ahefech litin onesh l'chofrim shelo haminu l'dvarav, and Hashem also punishes those who don't believe in Him. V'ha'inin l'fi da'as Hashem Yisbarach lo ayu ru'uyim liyo shluchim. They really weren't appropriate to be the messengers, to be the spies. Rak shnei anashim. There were only two that were really roi, v'heim Kalev v'Pinchas. Really, Kalev and Pinchas were supposed to go, like in Yehoshua, k'mosh also b'mei Yehoshua, shehush l'chu mipi Hashem Yisbarach, v'lo mipi anasi, that Hashem chose Kalev and Pinchas, and these individuals were not really roi to be sent, k'mash l'chas of Khan, kol nasi b'hem, each one was a nasi, ki Kalev haya mishaved Yehuda, d'lok si b'nachsho nasi, Kalev was from Yehuda, and there was no nasi, and Pinchas was from Levi, where there was no real Nasi. And then he goes on to explain that, I'm just going to do it outside, he goes on to explain that Pinchas couldn't go because the Jews wanted somebody who was going to be get land in Eretz Yisrael, so they chose Yehoshua instead. But Yehoshua was a Nasi, so Moshe had to daven for him. But the main idea I wanted to focus on in this Marsha is that he's showing us that these Nasiim really weren't chosen by Hashem, they were chosen by the people, and they really weren't really, they weren't really appropriate, because they had all these hidden underlying conflicts, psychologically, unconsciously, where they were able to ignore what they saw with regard to Hashem. And we see this in the Rashbam. Look at source number 16, the last source on the daf, on the page. It says, Kol nasi bahem, ikar pshuto kach. What is the pshat? Kol ele shneimasar anashim tikach me'osam shebi Yisrael shenasa osam liba meleches. So the ones who were chosen were people who wanted to go. Shetachriz, they should announce Lishol Esa'am and ask the people, Mia ish sheyirtze leleches ragel esaretz, who wants to go spy? Ume'osam sheyomru leleches tikach v'tivchar mehem shnei masar. From those who wanted to go, choose 12. Ulefisha anashim giborim she'enam yireim barach levav ru'uyim leleches ba'aretz nachriya v'gam lischazek v'lakachas mipri'aretz. Those who volunteered were individuals who were very courageous and would be able to, strong enough to take back the fruits of the land. That's why they made this announcement. Anybody who wants to go and spy should come. And then they chose amongst those people 12. The lo nakva makadosh baruch hu b'shemos. Hashem does not list their names. He does not mention their names. K'shem she'asa l'nesiim, like he does with the nesiim. Shemanu es Yisrael. So we see in our parsha when it says Ve'ela Shemos HaNashem, Hashem doesn't mention it. He didn't choose these individuals. The pshat is that these individuals volunteered to go, and amongst the individuals that volunteered to go, 12 were chosen, one from each shevet. So what do we see from the Rashbam and also the Marsha? We see that these individuals, they wanted to be leaders, and they sought the spotlight, because this was announced to Klal Yisrael, whoever wants to go should go, and these individuals popped up, and they said, we want to go. So they weren't chosen, they weren't individuals of humility, they were individuals that wanted to be in the spotlight, they wanted to spy. But deep down inside, they really weren't appropriate, like the Maharsha says, they really had these conflicts, they had these inner conflicts, and they really weren't intrinsically really appropriate to go. So what the Marsha and the Rashbam are teaching us is, in addition to what we said, that they were influenced by the people, We see by the fact that they are volunteering for this service, we see from that that they were the types of individuals, and they weren't really, and they really had this unconscious conflict. We see that they were the types of individuals who would be influenced by the people. Because a person who's chosen, who doesn't want to be a leader, that's one type of person, and Hashem demands that they be a leader, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the prototypical leader because he didn't really want to be a leader. He was chosen out of necessity because of his personality. But these are people who want to be leaders. They want to be in the spotlight. So a person like that, you have to be wary of. You have to be fearful of. Because typically an individual like that who seeks out the spotlight is an individual who is also someone who is subject to being affected by the people and subject to wanting to placate the congregation, to placate the audience, to placate the people, the constituents. So it's the same here by the Meraglim. So we see from the personalities of these people, like the Marsha says and the Gemara says, that they weren't superficially bad people. They're Ksherim on the surface. But underneath it all, they were machbi, they were soser, they were hiding all this information, meaning that they were individuals that didn't really understand their underlying nature, and on the surface, they were really ksherim. But the fact that they chose this, and they were seeking out this service, is a negative sign, and it shows us that these, or it's really, I guess it's really the opening to see why these individuals would be so affected by the people, because they were people who were seeking out the spotlight. They're seeking out this mission. So with that, I just want to put everything together. Really, the question of the Shir, the beginning of the Shir, was what was their motivation? Were they really evil individuals from the start? Were they good individuals? So we see this contradiction in Rashi, that on the one hand, they were good in the beginning, and on the other hand, when they left to go spy, they're already evil. So what exactly happened? So we saw from the Gemara that the Gemara says the use of the word v'yachparu shows us that the people really wanted to shame the land. They were looking to expose it. And the word chafir means to dig and to show something that's hidden that you don't see on the surface, but show something that's negative and that's more hidden. And that's what they wanted. They were insecure. They were scared to go into the Eretz Yisrael, and they wanted to expose it and show that it wasn't special. It was like every other land, in fact, worse. And we see that the idea of the pasuk, I didn't explain this, but it's very important. We see that it's compared to the pasuk by Yeshaya, talking about Yemos Mashiach, that those who worship the sun and the moon will be embarrassed, and it'll be known to everyone that Hashem reigns supreme. So we see that there's a connection. So we ask, what's the connection between the two, and what is the concept that they wanted to embarrass, expose the land? So I didn't mention this in the Shir, but I think the connection is important. It shows us that also by Avodah Zarah, by worshiping the sun and the moon, if you dig deeper, it is embarrassing because you're worshiping a ball of gas. You're worshiping something that doesn't have any power at all. So the idea is that in the times of Mashiach, it'll be so clear that worshiping these gods, worshiping Avodah Zarah, is so nonsensical that it'll be embarrassing. It'll be something that will be a source of complete and utter shame. That you spend your life worshiping a ball of gas will be something of tremendous shame, and that's the idea. It's the chafir, it's the same idea. Chafir, when you dig down under the surface of Avodah Zarah, what you find is something shameful, something embarrassing. So too, the Jewish people, their intent was to expose the land, and we also see that from the Ksava Kabbalah, we see an interesting point, that really, on the one hand, the people wanted this, they wanted to expose the land, and we also see that the Meraglim followed suit. And the worst use of the word meragel in Devarim also shows us that the Meraglim followed suit. So we wanted to say in the Shir that the main svara, the main theory, is that these individuals were corrupted by their need to satisfy the people and their need to give in to what the people wanted. And they sensed that the people wanted this expose, and therefore when they left to go spy, even though in the beginning they were good people, when they left to go spy, they realized what the Jews wanted and they wanted to give them what they wanted. So they followed in that path, and that was their flaw. And similarly, we see in the Medrash that the pasuk by Shaul is quoted. And what was the flaw of Shaul? That same flaw, that Shaul was too subject to trying to placate his constituents, the Jewish people, and he didn't destroy Amalek, he didn't stand up for the word of Hashem, and instead he gave in to the people. So too, by the Meraglim, they had similar personalities. And we also see at the end that a person, these types of people, they were really conflicted underneath it, and they searched, they were seeking this mission. So those are all red flags for people. On the one hand, they might, on the surface, be good people, but on the other hand, people who are seeking the spotlight, they tend to be people who are also affected tremendously emotionally by others, by the public. And those types of people were the ones who volunteered for this mission. And we see from the basic theory in tonight's shiur, that was the personality type that was affected by the people. That was a personality type that was corrupted by the people. So with that, we can use this shiur, A, to understand the parsha on a deeper level, but B, also to understand leadership and understand the necessity of a leader to stand up for what he believes in and to not try to give in to the people just for the sake of giving in to them because of fear or because of a need for self-aggrandizement. So those are all not qualities that Jewish people or the Jews are supposed to respect in a leader. We're supposed to look for leaders that are humble and look for leaders that really don't want to be leaders like Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what the Torah is teaching us in this story, or part of what the Torah is teaching us. So everyone have a good Shabbos, and if you have any questions, now would be great.
I have a question. I don't know if you answered this part, but can we see the...